Welcome to the MS News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell, and I also have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. I am a columnist with MS News Today at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. Let me invite you to join our MS forums. We have over 1,000 active members discussing common themes and sharing their experience on living with multiple sclerosis. Please consider joining. You can find the link to the MS News Today forums in this episode's description. Welcome to the Multiple Sclerosis News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell. Today, I welcome two people. I welcome twins Terry Horde and Tammy Kahn, founders of the social media platform Twins Coast to Coast. Tamara and Terry, thank you for joining us on the MS News Today podcast.
Thank you, Jen, so much. Thank you for inviting us, and we are very happy to be with you today.
Yes, we're so happy to be here. Thank you, Jen.
Absolutely. It's a joy to have you. And, you know, as twins, I can't imagine how often you've gotten this, but tell me, how identical is your MS? Let's start right away. How is your MS right now the same? And when you were you diagnosed the same?
So Jen, this is Terry, and being diagnosed as identical twins, and identical twins are 100% genetically the same. So when we were diagnosed and I heard that Tamara was diagnosed, I went to my neurologist and I said, how common is it to be an identical twin living with the same chronic illness as multiple sclerosis? And he said, it's very, very rare, even in having family members, whether it's your mother, sister or my father or anybody, it's very rare to have the multiple sclerosis in the same family, although there are cases of that. But being an identical twin, and I heard the news that Tamara was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, made me sad for both of us because we were going to live a life of uncharted territory with multiple sclerosis back then. There wasn't a lot known about it. But the great news is that we are a wonderful test study for somebody out there for identical twins living with MS because we are mirror twins. And mirror twins just means that we do everything on the opposite side. So I am a left-handed gal and Tamara is a right-handed gal, and our symptoms throughout the years mirrored one in each other. And we are so, so similar now living with secondary progressive MS that my weak side is my right side. Tamara's weak side is her left side. Although mine is progressing to, you can't tell which side is the good side, but we are truly mirror images and our symptoms, which has been kind of interesting for both of us to walk through and for other people to say, oh, if you could just take the healthy side of each of your bodies, you would make one really good body.
I can only imagine as sisters and in getting to know you better and understanding your bond, how sad that is for you when you were diagnosed and to hear of your sister having a similar diagnosis. You love each other so much.
You love each other very much. And 20 years ago, we didn't have social media platforms to share diagnosis and what to expect from MS. We only had each other. So we were very lucky that we could talk with each other, research for each other. And honestly, we didn't know what was in front of us with multiple sclerosis.
We were just really good support systems for one another. We are so close. We either text message or talk on a daily basis. And I think at the beginning, my MS, this is Terry speaking, my MS when I was diagnosed was pretty aggressive. And I was undiagnosed, let's say, for about 6 years, starting with optic neuritis. And nobody could figure that out, didn't really have any other symptoms. But I did go into multiple MS flares after I was diagnosed and had my first daughter back in 1995. And that was a little scary because when my sister Tamara was diagnosed a couple of years later, I was afraid for her, what was in front of her. Yes. So that was a little unnerving.
Absolutely. This is Tamara. And the way my diagnosis came about was Terry was diagnosed a few years before. I had just had my second daughter in 1998. I just turned 30 years old. And I was walking. I had both daughters in my arms walking down the stairs. And all of a sudden, my left arm started to feel very weak, like I was going to drop a baby. Well, you're not going to drop a baby. No mama's going to drop their baby. So when I got them both safe in their little cribs, I called my husband. I said, you know, I feel a little weak. This is going to sound crazy, but I believe I'm having some symptoms of multiple sclerosis. My husband's name is Steve. He's a radiologist. And he said to me, Tamara, it's in your head. You're having empathy pains for your sister. You both are so close. Let's rule this out. Come to my office. We'll do an MRI of your brain. And we're going to put this to rest that you're going to be okay. And Terry has this diagnosis, and we're going to be right behind her and support her through this journey. I went and had the MRI of the brain performed, and I walked into my husband's office afterwards, and I looked at him, and I knew life was never going to be the same as it was. He looked at me and said, your MRI shows signs of multiple sclerosis. We were fortunate that we lived by Stanford University in California, and I went to see a neurologist, and my neurologist looks at me and says, same thing. I had needed a full workup for MS and said, although you have an identical twin sister, it's very rare that you would be diagnosed also with a disease. So back then, you know, even the doctors couldn't believe that identical twins could have multiple sclerosis.
I can imagine. And as adolescents, prior to even your diagnosis, did you notice things that maybe upon hindsight may have been early symptoms?
This is Terry. Yeah, absolutely. When we were young girls, we were very active and playing tennis. We loved to do ballet, we ran track, and we would always come home and say to our mom, boy, our legs are tingling, we just don't feel well. And she would say, oh, you just need to cut out, whatever. And definitely those were signs about probably age, I would say as early as 10. And we really identified with those symptoms when we were in high school. But of course, people back then didn't take us seriously, and we just kept pushing forward.
And I'd also like to say, this is Tamara, that when we were younger, around 10 years old, and having the tingling and the pain in our legs after activities, the doctors would say, oh, the twins are just having growing pains. This is just a growing pain. And that's what we knew. We both had the same pains, the same tingles. There was no history, medical history of any type of chronic disease of any sort in our family. So we would just enjoy having our grandparents or mom or dad rub Vicks vapor cream on our legs. And oh, the coolness was wonderful. Felt great back then. That was our first relief pain cream.
Oh, to this day, Tiger Balm is one of my saving graces for my legs. So
absolutely. Nothing like that cooling sensation.
Nothing like it. So as your adolescence turned into later teens, was there a turning point where you both realized this is something more than growing pains?
You know,
this is, go ahead, Tamara.
This is Tamara. Yes, Terry and I have all the same interests in sports activities. You couldn't separate the two of us. Our senior year in high school, we joined the varsity tennis team. We loved it, but one of the things we had to do, and this is in Florida, in the fall, it's still hot, 90 degrees, 100% humidity. We ran two laps around the football field as warm-ups. Terry and I were the only two of 10 other girls on the team that would stop in pain, in tingling, and say to our coach, "Coach, we just can't do another lap." That was perceived as laziness or, you know, not wanting to complete the task. Terry, how did you feel about that?
Right. This is Terry. You know, it was very discouraging at the time because we really did have true symptoms of MS. And of course, nobody could understand what we were talking about then. And we were so disappointed when our tennis coach just said, "We no longer need you and your sister on the tennis team." And we were in tears going, why? We're really good. We were ranked high and we just didn't understand. And we realized that it was just that, like Tamara said, it was a form of laziness and we were perceived as the lazy girls, which was so disappointing. That is far from who we are. So that was our senior year in 18. And you fast forward, our mother had cancer and was diagnosed when we were 13. And that also brought on some onset of tingling and just not feeling well and being really, really tired. Even though we pushed ourselves in a lot of ways, we were just extremely tired. So looking back, you see, if you were to take a little medical journal from age 10 to 13 to 18, there were definitely signs. And I believe wholeheartedly we would have been diagnosed probably by the age of 18. And then when our mother passed away at age 24, that's when I had a large episode of optic neuritis. So yeah, so that's kind of like our little teenage years and growing up years. But we were happy girls. We were like, if we have pain, we have tingling, let's keep moving, let's keep pushing through with our life.
And also, Jen, this is Tamara, I'd like to say that because we were only two children, we didn't have any other siblings to compare. So it wasn't like we had a sibling who had lots of energy and would do a lot more than us. We were the same. We would come home. We both take a nap after school. We were tired. We, you know, had the same pains and aches. So why would it be different for anybody else? So something that may have flagged a parent early on with our symptoms didn't flag for our parents or even ourselves because we were both experiencing the same symptoms.
And all you had to look was at one another and see that that was a quasi-normal. So was there any episode in your life? I read that both of you experienced Epstein-Barr. Was that a trigger for the multiple sclerosis to be recognized by physicians?
So this is Terry. I have an amazing physician at the MS Center of Atlanta here in Georgia. The two of us have been growing old together. I am so fortunate my doctor is still not retired. It's Dr. William Stewart at the MS Center of Atlanta. And he is like my second father. He, when we were going through the original, he was my third neurologist that I saw to after diagnosis. It's kind of like a marriage, right? You just need to find the right one. And he's been the right one all along. But he did say to me very early on when we spoke that he believed that Epstein-Barr does play a role in diagnoses for multiple sclerosis, that a lot of people experience having Epstein-Barr.
It could be a trigger.
Right, could be a trigger for it.
For your immune system to start turning on yourself, and your immune system, white blood cells, then attacks the healthy myelin is your kind of wire cord.
Exactly.
I too had Epstein-Barr, and it was a major precursor to my diagnosis.
How old were you, Jen, when you?
I was at that time 29. Okay. So 39. But I had it, and it very much was a precursor to it presentation, the MS coming out. So sometimes it's easier for our disease discovery to happen when there is a precursor where our immune system just completely goes bonkers. And until mine went bonkers, they couldn't identify the MS.
And that's right. They say that most people are diagnosed with MS between the ages of 30 and 50. So for your diagnosis to come in your late 30s, makes sense. And you do usually have an external trigger that triggers the immune system to attack itself. That we have found when we're talking with our doctors.
Absolutely. And back when you were diagnosed early on, you didn't have any disease-modifying therapies, and now there are a plethora. So do you both utilize the same DMT?
So with Dean, this is Terry. So when I was diagnosed in 1995, there were only two at the time. You had Betaseron, and I was so lucky, Avonex was just released in 1995, and I was on Avonex, which is wonderful. And then, of course, we had the Sodramedrol that was available to us at the time. And those were the approved by FDA DMTs. Then I was so fortunate. Tamara and I had totally different paths in our early DMT treatments. So back in 19, I was on Avonex from 1995 until 2001. And then in 2001, I was so lucky to be selected to be on the double placebo Tysabri study. And they were incorporating the weekly Avonex shot and the Tysabri at the same time, every 4 weeks. Well, I was so, so fortunate because I noticed my body was back to its old self. I had energy. My MS progression was extremely slow, which was fantastic. I was able to work, volunteer at my children's school, drive all over Atlanta. It was wonderful, wonderful. And I was on Tysabri for 10 years or more, 13 years. And then my DMT treatment stopped because of PML. And I then was on every disease-modifying treatment that you can think of that's out there, and had complications with some. And today we're just right where I started. I am back on Tysabri as of January of 2021. So I'm back where I started. So it's been wonderful. I don't think I've had any, my MRIs are all good and I've been doing great on it. So
Such good news.
And it is.
For Terry, and how about you, Tamara? How has your DMT journey been?
So my DMT journey was a little different. When I was diagnosed, there were now three different medications. You had Avonex, Betaseron, and a medication called Copaxone. My doctors at Stanford did put me on Avonex, and at that time, there were not auto-injector medications. It was actually had to mix up the medications. which was a little difficult for me at the time because I had just had my second child, little baby. I felt pretty good, even though I was diagnosed with MS. I looked good. I felt good. I still had energy. I was fatigued, but I thought it was just fatigue from having the baby. So there were days that I would mix up the Avonex, give myself a shot. There were other days, nights, I was so tired. I'm like, oh, I don't feel like mixing up the shot. I'm exhausted. I still feel good. I still look good. I'm 30 years old. I'm living my best life. This is, you know, MS. Again, there wasn't a lot of information on there how important it is to start on the DMT at the very beginning and stay on it and to be on it consistently. Back then, we didn't have that knowledge base. So I sporadically took my medication. That was the difference. Terry was much better keeping on her medication. My MS did progress a little bit more rapidly early on. Terry's did slow down. It felt as though her MS halted. Her symptoms slowed down. And mine just gradually progressed as time went on. Our DMTs did combine at one point when we were both on Rituxan, and but they have varied with our
Right, we were both on our DMTs in the 2008 were Rituximab, and then we were on Mayzent together, and then Tamara is still on Mayzent, and I have switched to Tysabri. And again, everybody out there, your doctors, please, please listen to your physicians when they talk about being consistent, like Tamara said, about your DMTs. And if you feel like they're not working for you, please have those conversations with your medical provider to say, hey, I'm feeling this way and that way. And is there any opportunity to try another DMT? Be an advocate for yourself for your DMTs.
Absolutely.
That is such an important point. I know medically we call it compliance. That's such a heavy word. However, it speaks to the importance of taking your medication as directed, as prescribed. Even though you may feel good that day, you may feel better that day. The medication is a cumulative effect for our multiple sclerosis, and it's important to keep that in our systems. Was there a day you both decided that, hey, we're going to become advocates? Because both of you have twins coast to coast, and I am just so impacted by not only what you offer in your power of positivity, but how much you give of yourselves. What was it that just ignited your passion?
I, one day, a few years ago, both Tamara and I have been in the business world since we were in our late 20s, and we were bored. And we decided that we would do a, just come up with, well, let me start over, sorry. With our social media platform, we wanted to reach out to people with like diseases like ours to, oh gosh, Jen, this is having a mess, right? Sorry. Tammy, I'm sorry.
Well, so there was doing great. So advocacy comes naturally to both of you though.
Yes. Yes. So advocacy comes very naturally to us. We decided to become advocates a few years ago because we had a passion to share our story with others because we knew we could connect with people like us. And that was one reason why we did this.
Absolutely. Another reason, Jen, was Terry and I, we like to travel. We like to go places. And as our disease progressed and we started using some fancy mobility devices to help us get around. Once we started using scooters to get to long distances, people would take double takes and look at us. And when we first started using them together, we were traveling. There was a time we were in San Diego And there were this meeting of people and handsome men and lovely looking women. And Terry and I, we were all dressed up on their scooter. And we, one table, these men looked at us and said, they took a double take. Two women at the time, we were in our 40s, on a scooter. So instead of saying, oh, we have a chronic disease and something boring like MS, people don't want to hear stories like that. We say we were reps trying out these mobility devices. And then we thought, well, this is silly. We don't want to hide this. I mean, we wanted to make it comical and why we were on these. So we started to discuss, you know, ways that we could share our story to others. People are not alone in this. We, you know, you have to humble yourself a little bit. We want to be advocates. We want to send knowledge out to people. And that was one of the moments. The next aha moment, we were in New York City and we were on our scooters once again. And a gal walks by and goes, you look good, girls. You know, you go, girls. If you have to use a scooter, you use it well. And we did. And we looked at each other. And for the first time, we realized we're not different. We're living a life. We're enjoying the city. We're getting out there. And there's no reason to be ashamed at having to use a mobility device. We're living. And that's what we want to convey to people, is that chronic disease is not easy. It's not for sissies. We have our good days, our bad days. We can be happy. And the next moment or day, we're challenged. We wake up and we are challenged with a difficult thing. So it's important to have these support groups and people out there living with multiple sclerosis or any other chronic disease. You're not alone, and we're here to be here for you.
And Tamara is so right. We developed our Twins Coast to Coast to be that voice. We have multiple ways to navigate our website. We have blogs to share. Our tagline is the good and the good, the bad, the funny, and the good. We do live our lives that way. The bad, oh yes, there are days where we just think, oh my words, how do you get through the day? And the funny is really how we try to live through and manage our MS. Because if you do something silly or we forget a word here and there, we just move on. And it is kind of funny. It's like, okay, brush that off your shoulder. Let's move on. Laughter is everything. So that's what we try to do as advocates. I am really big into advocacy, and the state of Georgia, I am on the Board of Trustees for the state of Georgia, and I participate in the Georgia Advocacy Program for multiple sclerosis. So it's so fun for me because I get to hear what's going on in the legislation and all the different things like the medical marijuana that just passed. Yay for Georgia. Passing the medical marijuana law this past year. And now we'll be able to buy at the first of the year medical marijuana for treatment of MS if you choose to, or cannabis oil, CBD oil. And another thing is, another advocacy road that I take is that I am also the co-chair for the leadership program for the Georgia MS Society. And that gives me so much joy because we bring in young professionals between the ages of, anybody can do the leadership program, but a lot of our folks are between the age of 30 and 50. And it's so much fun to talk with these people, let them learn about what the MS Society does, why we're fundraising. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful avenue. And it's just great to be out there to volunteer and to tell our stories.
I think it's very powerful to take something like multiple sclerosis and choose to not only share it with your twins coast to coast, but to reach others in the community to show them not only are you not alone, but you can thrive with MS. And that doesn't mean the totality is good. That doesn't mean that totality is bad. That means you can live a normal life like everyone else.
Jen, you're so right. This is Tamara. You know, we believe, Terry and I also, if not now, when? And that just means we're in our 50s. Let's enjoy life now. We don't know what the future holds for us with progression, with the chronic disease. But, you know, let's get out there and be positive as much as you can. And that's one of our platforms. Just, you know, be supportive. Let people know who we are. And we're here for people for information. We share with them different devices, different techniques, different exercises that help us and hopefully will help other people.
How can people find you? What is your website?
So our website is, and I can give people all the information, if they go to www.TwinsCoastTOCoast. They can find us on our website. They can also go to Instagram. And Instagram is a great way because we post quite a bit on Instagram. And they can find us at TwinsCoast2Coast. And then our email address, if people would like to reach out to us and tell us their stories that way, we are TwinsCoast2Coast@gmail.com. And then we also have a Facebook at Twins Coast TO Coast. So people can reach out to us that way. And our Instagram, we have a link tree that will link them automatically to our website. And our website has a plethora of information. And it talks about our stories. It talks about different websites we enjoy. It talks about different organizations we like. So it really has a lot of information for people living with not only multiple sclerosis, but chronic illnesses.
Thank you. And I will also include that information in our description of this podcast so people can have those links available to them.
Wonderful.
In closing, I would love to hear from each of you a message you would like to leave our listeners.
Hearing.
Okay. So, and Jen, I don't know if you wanted to talk about being married and the challenges our husbands have, or is that not necessary?
That's absolutely open, whatever you'd like to talk about.
Sure. I just want to talk about a couple of things. So many people have asked me of recent how did I date knowing I had some sort of issue going on? Wasn't formally diagnosed, but multiple sclerosis was buzzing in my ear with my dad's neighbor who was an ophthalmologist, and he said, you have MS. So, of course, my husband now kind of, you know, had a listening ear and started thinking, you know, oh, gosh, a chronic illness. But I want to tell everybody out there, you can live a normal life. Both Tamara and I have a very supportive supportive husband. And I, of course, am now paralyzed from the legs down. So my husband does so many wonderful things for me. He is very kind, and it's just very, very lovely to see. So in the dating world, please, for all those single ladies and men out there, there will be that future spouse, hopefully, if that's what you choose, out there, because living with a chronic illness, no matter what stage you're in, there is somebody out there. But in closing, this is Terry. I just wanted to say the message I want to have is that MS, like Tamara said, is not for sissies. It is not debilitating for everybody. So I want to make sure everybody out there, if you're diagnosed, you can live a normal life. I want you to just be the best that you can be, because Tamara and I have been faced with so many challenges that we just want everybody to love on one another and have that support. Find your support system. Find the family members around you that can be loving and hold your hand through this. Tamara and Terry are so lucky to have one another. We hold each other's hands coast to coast on a daily basis, and we adore each other, and we are here for people. So in closing, just want to say that MS may have been the biggest blessing of my life, just to be able to reach out to the world and be a gift, because Tamara and I are very sincere and passionate, and we really love what we do.
Thank you. I hear that from you. And Tamara, I would also like to give you the opportunity to speak to marriage and family, and then leave a closing message for our listeners.
I would be happy to. As Terry said, I met my husband when I was 22 years old. I was healthy. I was bouncy. I was moving around. Again, there was no history of multiple sclerosis. I just was blessed. He's a witty man, a smart man, loving. I knew at the moment I saw him, this was the person. He wasn't ego involved, anything. We were married. Things did. I was diagnosed. He was very accepting of the diagnosis. He always says every morning when I wake up in the morning, he wakes up, he looks at me and says, "You're beautiful." And I think, oh my, more beautiful as I get, I know I probably have a little challenge looking, but I get, "You're beautiful, you're beautiful." And lots of "you go, girls." And if I'm stumbling along, he's like, "You're doing great." So that's, we've been blessed, both Terry and I, because a lot of husbands or wives in the opposite, you know, it's a big deal to be diagnosed with a chronic disease. They may not know how to handle it. They may run away from the challenge because it is challenging. Again, my tag thing is, it's not for sissies. The caretakers, you know, which end up to be the husbands, a lot of the times it's not easy on them. But we're blessed to have been married to such wonderful, wonderful people. Again, we're here. The reason why we do have our platform is we understand some people don't have that family support and that love. We want people to reach out to us, to connect with us, ask questions. There is life living with a chronic disease. You can make it meaningful, and we're here to support anybody who needs that support.
Terry Horde and Tamara Khan, it has been an absolute joy and honor to have you with us. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. This was a lot of fun, Jen. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I thank all our listeners at Multiple Sclerosis News Today. This is your host for the Multiple Sclerosis Podcast, Jen Powell.
Share your thoughts on this episode through social media. You can find MS News Today on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us to keep updated on the latest news and to never miss new content and initiatives. Click the links in this episode's description.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com.